North Hampton Kollel, Shir given by Gershon Hepner on Tehillim chapter Yud Zayin, and we are on Sunday, Kaf Ches Kislev Tovshin Ayin Aleph, fourth day Hanukkah, and it's the 5th of December 2010. And we'll say the Shir with Hakarsa Tot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachel and Lawson. You just had a baby yesterday. You're waiting for that. Yeah. We found that off the shelf. In Yerushalayim, yeah, Baruch Hashem, yes, our daughter Rachel, Baruch Hashem, had a boy, she had a big boy, and all this well. Two boys now, that's it, yeah, Baruch Hashem. So, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the least thing to do is we offer up our thanks. Okay, so Perek Yud Zayin, and we're on Pasuk Vav. I'm going to try and tackle Vav Zayin and Ches, if we can. So, Vav, here we are. Yeah, Ani Kros Sicha, Kisa Ameni Kel. Anika Sicha, I've called you. Kisa Ameni Kel, so that you should answer me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hat Oznachali, turn your ear to me. Shema Imrosi, listen to what I say. Listen to my word, yeah.
Hat Oznachali, we said it on the first night's Lisa.
Yeah, how'd you
go? Hat Oznachali,
So just a few things before we really get started on the pasuk. Ani krasicha, the word ani really seems fairly redundant, because krasicha means I called you, and ani means I. So if you literally, ani krasicha means I called you. Why do you need the word I? Why do you need the word ani there at all? I haven't seen it anywhere on this pasuk.
It's like a Shabbat. Good
Yom Tov. Yeah, tautology. Yeah. Tautology, that's right. Yeah. Good Shabbat. Good Yom Tov. Yeah, good Yom Tov. Yeah. That's right. The one I like is PIN number, which is personal identification number. Yeah. It's PIN number, right? So it's a tautology. Why do you need the word Ani there? Ani Krasicha. I haven't seen this on this possibly, but this Kasha comes up time and time again throughout Tanakh with similar wording. Ani Amarti V'Chovzi, Kalatam Ketiv. Ani Amarti is I said. So I didn't need the word Ani there. And the answer that's normally given is that it's there for extra emphasis. Ani, I, somehow it gives it some extra force, or extra power. Ani Krasicha. Another interesting thing on the Pasuk is the word Hat, which is a fascinating word, because the Shoresh is Nun Tes Hei. Okay? Nun Tes Hei. And, yeah, that's the Shoresh. Now we nun tes ayin. So nun tes ayin is to turn. Hat oznach. What's the word? Hat oznach. Turn your ear towards me. So the root is nun tes ayin. Now, two interesting aspects of grammar. When a sherish begins with a nun, the nun quite often disappears. Quite often. Like in the sixth edge, we've got vayigash. Vayigash elav Yehuda. The sherish vayigash is nun gimel shin. And the nun has fallen away. When the first root letters, the nun often disappears. That's one rule. And the second rule is that when the third root letter is a hey, it also often disappears. So here the sherish is nun tes hey, and they've both gone. The only letter from the sherish that's left is the tes. And the hey at the beginning is because it's a hifil. So it comes from the hifil pattern. So
it's like calls to calls.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but of the original Shoresh, Nun Tes Hey, you've only got one letter left, and that's the test. Very interesting. Now you have there's quite a bit of a quirk. You find this. It's in Pashas Bolok, chapter Kaf Beis Pasuk Kaf Gimel, where the pasuk has no fewer than two examples in the same pasuk of the same thing. Excuse me. Vatera Osanis Malach Hashem Mitzav Baderech. This is the donkey of Bilam saw the Malach of Hashem. And his sword was drawn, Vateit Ha'osin Min Haderech, and the donkey turned away from the path. So Vateit is one example, where the Shoresh is Nun Tesei, and the Nun has disappeared, and the Hay's also disappeared. Vatelech Basadet went in the field, Vayach Bilom Esa'osin, and Bilom hit the donkey. And the Shoresh of Vayach is Nun Chos Hay. And again, you've only got one letter less than the Shoresh. You've only got the Chos there. The Nun is gone and the Hay is gone.
So you've got...
Absolutely, same thing. Yeah, Nun Tes Hay. Yeah. But here in that Pasuk, in Parshas Bolok, you've got two examples in one Pasuk, which is it's pretty unusual. Vateit and Vayach. So Vateit is Nun Tes Hay.
Yeah.
And you've only got, of the root, you've only got the Tes left. And Vayach, Nun Chos Hay, you've only got this Chos left. So it's interesting, it's a bit of an unusual pattern. Yeah, good, okay. Oh, so Rashi, and let's go on to Rashi. Ani krasicha, I called you, kis aneni kel, that you should answer me, Hashem. And Rashi explains it means, kis aneni, because I am certain that you will answer me. That's how Rashi learns the pasuk. I've called to you, why have I called? Because I'm certain that you will answer me. Yeah, that's how Rashi learns. Now the Targum on this pasuk has got a very interesting piece of Targum. Anok Haresi Yosach, I've called you, Matult Kabel Tzolosi, because you will accept my prayer. So the word for prayer is Tzolosi. We know that word from Kaddish, Tzkabel Tzolosahun Uvotan, right? Tzolosah is prayer, okay? So Matul Tzkabel Tzolosi, so that you will accept my prayer, Eloko, Hashem, Salei Udnoch, turn your ear, Kabel Tzolosi, and accept my prayer. So we're not surprised by the expression of Tzkabel Tzolosi, you'll accept my prayer, because that's the translation of Sa'aneni, you'll answer me. And we're also not surprised by Kabel Tzolosi, accept my prayer, which is the translation of Shema Imrosi. The one interesting one is Hat Oznachali, turn your ear to me, which the Targum translates as Tzale Udnach, turn your ear. So he translates Hat as Tzale. And I imagine it's another expression of Tzolosa, of prayer. So he's translated three words here, all with the same, seems to be, and I hope I've got this right, with the same Shoresh. Tzkabel Tzolosi, accept my prayer. Tzale Udnach, turn your ear, which is an expression of your ear should listen to my prayer. Tzale, another expression of Tzale, of Tzolosa of prayer, and Kabel Tzolosi, accept my prayer. So he's translated three words here, all with the same root of Tzolosi of prayer. Now, it's possible I've got that wrong, but I think I've got it right. I'm not certain though. Okay. The Malbim learns. Yeah. If before we come on to the Malbim, let's learn, if you look at the Pasuk, the way the Malbim does not look at the Pasuk. Anikra Sicha Kisa Menikel, I've called you because you'll answer me, God, is an absolute parallel to Hat Oznachali, turn your ear to me, Shemaim Rossi, listen to what I'm saying. In other words, the two halves of the Pasuk really are echoing each other. I'm called you because you'll answer me, and turn your ear to me and listen to what I have to say. Are very similar ideas, just expressed with slightly different words. So a lot of people would call this pasuk a parallelism. The two halves of the pasuk say the same thing. The Malbim does not go for parallelisms. Pretty much throughout Tanakh, as far as I've learnt, which is not much, but some of I can see, the Malbim does not agree with the concept of parallelisms, of where the second half of the pasuk is parallel to the first half. The Malbim learns there's always a chiddush there in the pasuk. There's got to be a chiddush in the second half, which is not there in the first half. And the Malbim learns something like this. I haven't got it absolutely correct. He says, in the first half, says, I've called you because you'll answer me. And he says, but that's not enough. More than simply answering me, I'd like you to do more for me, please. Hat Oznachali, turn your ear to me and Shemaim Rossi and listen to the quality of my prayer. Listen to the depth of my prayer. Why? Because I am beloved by you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Malbim writes. So the Malbim says that the second half of the pasuk of Hat Oznachali is not, don't just listen to what I'm saying, listen to the detail of what I'm saying, listen to the depth of my prayer. He calls it listen to the echus, listen to the quality of the tefillah, is what's in the second half of the pasuk. So the Malbim notes that the second half is always going to add a little bit more to what's on the first half. Not simply diet parallels. There's more in the second half than there is in the first half.
Listen to the depth of what I'm saying.
Absolutely, to the depth. Yeah, listen
intensity.
To the detail. Oh, intensity.
Oh,
very good. I like that. Intensity, the depth. Absolutely, yeah. Now, the Al-Sheikh says, and there's a long piece of Al-Sheikh on this, I didn't fully understand it, but it's something along the following lines. The Al-Sheikh goes back to what we said all along on the whole chapter, that this chapter was David's tefillah of Teshuvah for the Maisa Bathsheva. We've had this many time and time again. And the Al-Sheikh quotes the Gemara that we've mentioned previously, that David said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it that the Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov are all referred to in prayer? We refer to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. What about Elokei David? Remember, that's what David asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why don't you refer to me? And David said, and Hashem replied to him, well, because they've all passed tests and haven't tested you. Whereupon David said, okay, then test me and I'll pass. To which Hashem replied, you shouldn't ask for a Nisayon. Now that you're asking, I will give you a Nisayon and you will fail the Nisayon. Remember that? Yeah? So the Al-Sheikh says, here David says to Hashem, Ani krasicha, I called out to you, asking you to be referred to as Elokei David. But why did I do that? So that you should answer me. I didn't expect, and I certainly didn't ask for a response of, I'll test you, that you need to be tested before I'm prepared to do that. Why did I call out to you? I called out to you, so you should answer me positively, so that you should respond, well, the others were tested and you haven't been tested. That's how the Al-Sheikh learns it. And of course what did happen is Hashem said, well, they passed the tests and you haven't. And David said, well, test me. And Hashem said, I'll test you and you'll fail. And David said, that wasn't what I was asking for. I was asking for a positive response of being, that you, will allow yourself to be referred to as Elokei David. Oh. One last thing on this passage from Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch, beautiful idea, very nice and relevant to our children, and that is, Ani krasicha, I called you, all I wanted was kisa aneni, that you should answer me. Answering does not necessarily mean fulfilling my request. An answer is simply an answer. And the Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch gives a muscle of a baby who'll cry out and all he needs is the reassurance of the mother's reply. A baby will call out mummy mummy or daddy daddy and the parent replies, hello, we're here, don't worry, we're here. Yeah? So kisa amini, just answer me, just reassure me that you're there. That's all I'm asking for. I cried out, just so you should reply, so I know you're there, like a parent replying to a child. Is that my thought? So nice and pertinent to Nosson and Rachel Simcha. Okay, good. Positive Zayin.
Just saying, it might not be a positive response when you call out to Hashem.
Yeah, he might not reply.
He might not give you what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's his prerogative.
Yeah, correct. Okay, Pasuk Zayin is a really tricky Pasuk. Here we go. Haflei chasodecho. Moshiach chosim. Mimiskumimim biminecho. Okay, I'll translate it and we'll see different approaches. Haflei chasodecho. Haflei means withdraw. Take away. Take away your kindnesses. Moshiach chosim, savior of those who seek refuge, mimiskomimim, from those who rise up, biminecho, with your right hand. That's the translation.
Is the translation really that?
Okay. Oh, exactly. Oh, a wonder, a plea, a pele. Oh, so the Mefarshim say, it's brought by the Ibn Ezra and many others, that the root of hafle is pelamet alos, as in the word pele. Yeah, a wonder or niflos. Yeah. But the Aleph is going to be interchangeable here with the hay. So the word hafle is spelled with a hay at the end. It's interchangeable with the hay. Of course, neither of them has any sound at the end. There's no vowel on the hay, and there's no, and the Aleph has no sound, and the hay has no sound here either, because there's no vowel on it. So you can't even hear the hay. So the Ibn Ezra points out that the root of the hafle is pelamet Aleph. And it means, what it really means is to separate. Separate something out, and he quotes a pasuk. Let me give you a pasuk. It's in Devarim. Have I got this here? Yes. It's Devarim chapter Kaf Ches pasuk Nuntes, where the pasuk is in the Tuchacha. Not a nice pasuk here. Devla Hashem es makosecha. Hashem will make your wounds remarkable. Devla. In other words, he will single you out. And you'll be singled out. You'll be noted, separated out from. You'll stand out from the crowd. That's what it really comes to. Piflasha and Esmakoscha. Hashem will make your wounds stand out from the crowd, and that's really what the Piflasha is. So if we come on back to us, Hafle Chasadecha either can mean make your kindnesses stand out. Moshiach Chosim, O Saviour of those who seek refuge, Mimiskomim Mibiminecha, from those who rise up against your right hand. Let's see how different Pashim learn it. So Rashi points out that the whole pasuk is written in a difficult sequence, and you need to jumble the words around to make sense of the pasuk. So Rashi learns that Hafle means make a difference, make us stand out from our enemies. How? By treating us with your kindnesses. Hafle, make us stand out. Chasadecha, by bestowing kindnesses upon you. Because you are Moshiach, you are the one who saves. Now Rashi takes the word biminecha, the last word of the pasuk. You save biminecha, you save with your strong hand. And whom do you save? You save the chosim, those who seek refuge from you, those who trust in you, and save us, mimiskomimim, from those who rise up against us and those who rise up against you. So Rashi learns that the word biminecho goes together with the word Moshiach. Save with your right hand. So you really need to jumble the words around to make sense of it. Moshiach biminecho. Of course, the right hand is representing the stronger hand. You save with your hand, with your right hand. You save with your stronger hand. Save. So according to Rashi, the prophet will read, make us stand out from our enemies by bestowing kindness upon us, because you save those who trust you with your right hand. Yeah, full stop. And they save us from miskimimim, save us from those who rise up against you. That's how Rashi learns. The Metzudas David learns differently. And he learns that the word hafle is to withdraw, as we started off with. Withdraw. And the Radak, I believe, as far as I remember, the Radak learns the same way. Withdraw. So hafle chasadecho, withdraw your kindness. Hold back your kindnesses from whom? Mimiskomimim, from those who rise up against you, those who rise up biminecho, against your right hand. So it's a completely different shot. The Mesudas David says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please withdraw your kindness. Hafle chasadecho, withdraw your kindness. Mimiskomimim biminecho, from those who rise up against your right hand. And rather, Moshiach Chosim, save those who trust in you. So totally different shot. You see how it works? Yeah?
Moshiach
Chosim
is the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Moshiach Chosim is the same and not much else. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's how they learn. And the Ibn Ezra brings both of these shots in. He says that the word Moshiach can either go with the word Biminecho. save with your right hand, which is how Rashi learns, or it can go. Oh, or he brings another pshat. He brings a different pshat. He says that chosim, the word chosim comes from the root ches samachay, and the Ibn Ezra says that the word chosim or ches samachay, that verb is always accompanied by a prefix on another word of a letter base. It's chosa is to trust in someone. So the Ibn Ezra points out that shoresh ches samachay is always accompanied by a letter base. So the Ibn Ezra says chosim goes together with the word biminecho, those who trust in your right hand. Again, a different shot. That's how the Ibn Ezra does. So demonstrate, single us out with your kindnesses, against those who rise up against you, or those who rise up against chosim biminecho, those who trust in your right hand. So all these refreshments, they all group these words differently, yeah, in order to make sense of the possible.
Hashem save those who trust in you, or Hashem gets at those who are your enemies.
That's right. Who rise up against your right hand.
Save them.
That's right. Those who rise up against your right hand, that's how the Mitzvah Stavim learns. Don't save them. Withdraw. Withdraw your kindnesses from them, from those enemies. And the Ibn Ezra learning two pshatim, either that you are Moshiach b'minecho, you save with your right hand, or Chosim b'minecho, those who trust in your right hand. So you have all these different groupings of the words. The Malbim's got another pshat as well. The Malbim says that it's Miskomimim. Who are these Miskomimim? They are the people who rise up against me, says David, and they do so flying a flag of religion. They do so thinking that they're being very firm about it. And they do so biminecho. They say that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are on their side. So mimiskomimim, they rise up against me and they claim biminecho, that they are working with your right hand, or they have your right hand on their side.
Islamic extremists.
Yeah, exactly. Don't forget, David had many enemies. The Malbim learns that Miskomimim are those who rise up against David. David had many enemies who really didn't believe in him. For example, Shaul HaMelech, who saw David as a usurper to the crown. He saw him as a Merid B'Malchus, and with a very frum outlook, he sought to kill David, thinking that David was a Merid B'Malchus, and therefore Chayv Misa. And others who claimed that David couldn't possibly be the Melech because he was descended from Rus, and Rus was a Moaviyah, and we don't accept Moavim, and it took a whole drosha to work out that the truth of the Torah is Moavi velo Moavis, that only a male Moabite can't become a Ger, but Rus could become a Geres. So there were many enemies of David who were miskomimim, who rose up against David, biminecho, believing that Hashem was on their side. And says the Malbim, that's the pshat in this pasuk. So save me and withdraw your kindnesses from those who rise up against me, claiming that you, Hashem, are on their side. Oh, now some midrashim. A few midrashim here. So here in the lovely Sefer Tehillim in Midrashi Chazal, he quotes, and this mainly comes from the Midrash HaKetuv on this pasuk. Oh. So it brings a mashal. Yeah, a mashal of that David is asking for Hafle Chasadecha, as though he's asking, taking the word Hafle as a plea, as something remarkable, or like a nifla, something amazing. He's asking for kindnesses over and above the norm. Hafle Chasadecha, show remarkable kindnesses towards me. So the Medrash quotes, it brings a marshal of a person who goes to his doctor. He's not well, he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, I cannot heal you. Why? Because you can't afford my fees. Yeah, so I'm not prepared to heal you. So the patient turns to him and says, look, I'll give you all the money I've got, and it still won't cover your fees. Do me a favor, what the difference between what I can afford and the true price, do me a favor, do that, heal me as a chesed. And that's what David is saying here. Go above and beyond the, what's the word, lifnu mishas hadin. Please deal super kindly with me. I can't afford your fees, but I'll do what I can, and the rest do for me as a chesed. Haflei chasadecha, do it for me as a chesed.
That's on the next process. Yeah. Oh, fine. That's it. Kushitan, 1 second. Kushitan, the last one.
Haflei, remarkable chesed. Haflei chasadecha. Undeserving. I didn't think of that word. Thank you. Undeserving kindness. Thank you. Yeah. Another medrash here is brought in the name of Shimon bar Chalafta. He gives another moshel of a man who lives in Golil, who's got a field, which is northern Eretz Yisrael, and he's got a field in Yehuda, in southern Eretz Yisrael, and another fellow who lives in Yehuda, in southern Eretz Yisrael, and he's got his field in northern Eretz Yisrael, in the Golil. So these two men, you know, they're constantly commuting up and down the country in order to see to their businesses. So then they meet, you know, you can imagine, they meet at the train, where do you live? I live down south and I work up north. Well, really, I live up north and work down south. So they say, look, let's swap. I look after your field, you look after my field, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine, and they look after each other.
And money.
Of course, energy and everything else. Yeah. So they look after each other in this way. Yeah. So this is the so he says as well, Hafei chasadecha, and look after me. This is also going a little bit on the next pasuk, Shomrini, which is guard me, pasuk ches, Shomrini, guard me. It's where Hashem says, you guard my Torah, and I'll look after you. Yeah? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You look after my Torah, keep my Torah, learn my Torah, keep mitzvahs, and I'll look after you. It's a reciprocal arrangement, thank you. Reciprocal arrangements, yeah. A similar idea is brought as well in the Medrash HaChetov. I'll say it now, even though it's a bit more on the next pasuk of Shomrini, but I can bring it here. It was very, very nice, very pertinent to us, because it's real Hanukkah, it's ideal for Hanukkah.
That's great. Okay, like Hashem says, Medrash HaChetov says, Medrash HaChetov brings this moshel of the man living in Yehuda and the man living in Golil, and they've each got fields in each other's areas, and they swap jobs in order to look after each other's fields and save on commuting time. So it's a reciprocal arrangement how they look after each other. And the Medrash HaChetov brings, oh, here it is. Om Rebbe Lozor HaKapar. Om Rebbe Shbochu La'odam. Hashem says to a man, Tehei Neiri B'yodcha, let my candle be in your hand, V'nercha B'yodhi, and let your candle be in my hand. Well, how does it work? My candle will be in your hand, because what's my candle? Kiner mitzvah v'sorah er. My candle is a mitzvah. If you look after my mitzvahs, then I'll look after nercha, then your candle will be in my hands, and I'll look after your candle. What's that? Another pasuk, in Mishlei chapter chof, ner elekim nishmas adam. It's a pasuk, it's in Mishlei, let me get it for you. It's Mishlei, and it's chapter Chof, Pasuk Chavzayin. Chof Chavzayin. There the Pasuk says, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. It's interesting, the Medrash Shechotev brings it as Ner Elekim Nishmas Adam. But I don't think that Pasuk really exists. It seems here it's the Pasuk in Mishlei, chapter Chof, Pasuk Chavzayin, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The flame of Hashem is the soul of man. So Hashem says, you look after my Ner, which is the mitzvahs, and I'll look after your Ner, I'll look after your Neshama. So it's again, it's this reciprocal arrangement. Very yes and pertinent for Hanukkah. Yeah? Oh. Rav Yosef Svijashinsky brings on our pasuk. Sorry, I got confused there. One minute. There's one other medrash. No, and leave that one. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Jashinsky quotes the Gemara, he quotes a medrash that on this one, Hafle Chasadecha, beginning of Pesach time, Hafle Chasadecha, he says that David asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a retia mufla'a, for an amazing bandage. Yeah? An amazing bandage. What's this amazing bandage? So according to Rabbi Yossi Sudashinsky, it refers to the Gemara in Brachas Daf Heyamud Aleph, where the one of the Gemara, in fact, we've mentioned this Gemara here in the past, in the Sheikh. Amrav Levi Bar Chama, Amrav Shimon Ben Nakish, Le'olam Yargizav in Yisra Tevel Yetzirah. Hashash always make his Yisra Hatov angry with his Yetzirah. And if he's successful, then good. But in love, if not, the perfect antidote to the Yetzirah is to learn Torah. Yasek Atel Letin Learn Torah. And if that works, then fine. And if that doesn't work, then he should say Shema. And if that works, then fine. And if not, then he should remind himself that one day, Yaskele Yamamisa, he'll remind himself that one day he will no longer be alive. And those should be the perfect antidotes to the Yetzirah. Rabbi Yossi Dushinsky asks, well, why is it that we need any more antidotes to the Yetzirah than the Torah? The first recommendation, which actually the second recommendation in the Gemara, is the Yasek Torah. The person's got it facing a Yetzirah, let him learn Torah. Why on earth should that not work? So he answers that sometimes the Yetzirah can dress itself up as the Yetzirah. A person can, the Yetzirah, it works in so many different ways. He can convince a person that an Avera is really a mitzvah. Well, if the Yetzirah is fighting a person that the, on the lines that the Avera is really a mitzvah, then it's very hard to battle that simply on the, with Torah learning, because Torah learning is all about being a good Jew. And if the person believes that the Avera is really a mitzvah, then, it won't stop him from doing the Avera. And therefore, you need, in order to combat such a Yetzirah, you need a retia mufla'a, a phenomenal bandage. And that's what this Medrash refers to. Hafle chasadecha, show me remarkable kindness, retia mufla'a, an amazing bandage, which is the way in which is the Lashon of the Medrash. And that's how Yossi Sudashinsky understands
it. It's like boost of my counterbalance, the Yitzhahara.
Exactly, yeah. So give me a special hand against it. Exactly, to find the Yitzhahara, absolutely. Like the pupil of the eye.
Apple of the eye.
Yeah. Which we'll see what that really means though. It's not tricky, not simple. But Tel Kanafecha Tastirini, hide me in the shadow of your wings. In other words, protect me. I'll immediately say that Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach connects this pasuk to the next one. Guard me, he showed us, sorry, guard me like the apple of the eye, and protect me or hide me in the shade of your in the shadow of your wings, mitnei rishoim zushaduni, from the rishoim who are robbing me. So that's how Rabbi Avraham ben Ramach explains the pasuk. It connects into pasuk tes. Okay. Now, what exactly is this phrase ishon basoim? What's this word ishon? So Rashi learns that the word ishon really means darkness, and he quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, which is in chapter Zion, pasuk Tes, where you can see that the word ishon is a reference to darkness. We are chapter Zion, pasuk Tes, where the pasuk says, the neshes the erev yom. We paraphrase this pasuk in Amavdil. The neshes the erev yom beishon laila va'afela, in the darkness of night. So ishon is an expression of darkness. That's how Rashi learns. So now we know that ishon means darkness. Therefore, our pasuk shomini ki ishon bas oyin is the dark part of the eye, i.e., the pupil of the eye. Yeah, so that's how Rashi learns. Kishem Basoin, you should guard me like the pupil of the eye. A person protects the pupil of the eye. I'm not going to, obviously, a person needs to protect himself with that. But the eye itself comes with its own inbuilt protection, because we have eyelids and we have eyelashes, and those are there to protect the eye. When a person blinks, blink. It supplies some moisture to the eye. Not only does it help keep dust out, it also it helps to wash the surface of the eye. It's all there for the eye's protection. So, and when a person can't necessarily protect himself so well because he's asleep, the eye's closed altogether. So the eye has its own protection. Not many aspects of the body come with their own protection, but the eyelid is there specifically to protect the eye, because the eye is such a sensitive part of the body. So David says, like the eye comes with its protection, therefore please protect me as well. Shamrini kishon basoin, protect me like the dark part of the eye. Yeah. In my concordance, the Mandelkern concordance, on this word ishon, he explains that ishon means not just darkness, but the darkest part of the night, which he always says. It's the very middle of the night. We normally say the darkest part of the night is just before dawn. But he says, like the pupil is in the center part of the eye, we're talking about the darkness at the central part of the night. That's how he learns it. Okay, another interesting thing about the eye, the eye is a giveaway to how a person is feeling. You see how a person is feeling, you can often judge a person's health by looking at the eyes. I once read in a medical book that if a person goes to a doctor, they look at their hands and they look at the eyes, because the hands as well apparently give away some aspect of health. Don't quite know what, but they also look at a person's eyes. A person comes in with a pain in his leg, the doctor will of course inspect the leg, but will also look into the person's eyes to see if there's any telltale signs there. The word for an eye is ayin, because the word ayin comes from the same word as mayon, which is a well, which is depth. It gives away what's going on the inside of a person. I heard this years ago from Dr. Gerber. The eye gives away what's going on the inside of a person, which is what's called an ayin, which is mayon, which is a spring or a well, which goes to where the water comes from within. It's also called that because of the eye sheds tears. So they're like a mayon, a spring, so it springs water. You have the same thing as well with the word for, the Hebrew word for a face, which is ponim. It's a very interesting word, because it's a plural word, ponim. It's got a plural sound to it. Adam and Chava, two faces. Oh, interesting. Yeah, maybe. But Mr. Fiston once told me, because the human face is symmetrical. So you've got two halves in the human face and animal face. So it's got a plural word, because everything comes in two nostrils, two eyes, two eyebrows. Sorry? Now, one mouth, that's you. Baruch Hashem, only one mouth. Yeah. But another aspect of the word ponin, face, again, I heard this from Dr. Gerber, is that it's related to the word penim, the inside, because the human face gives away a person's feelings, how they're feeling on the inside. Yeah? If a person's feeling terrible, you can't tell by looking at the hands, you can tell by looking at the face. Penim, it gives away what's going on the inside. At any rate, here's oyin, the ayin as well, like a mayon, it gives away what's going on the inside. Now, this word ishon, the Mitzvah Tzion points out, and it's also brought, it's also brought in the Radak, that ishon, fascinating word, it refers to the pupil of the eye. It comes from the word ish, meaning a man. Because if you're looking into someone else's eye, you see yourself. You see reflection, yeah? And it's got a Vav Nun at the end, because Vav Nun represents a diminution. a reduction of something. So if I look into your eyes, I see my reflection in small. I see a little man. He's shown is a little man. A vav nun at the end of a word is an expression of small. A little, but you see a little person. You see a little man. Now, and the connection to this is in Malachim. You see, this happens quite a lot in Tanakh, that an addition of a vav nun represents a reduction. You also see it as an expansion. Shabboson. Some of us learn Shabboson means little Shabbos, and others learn the exact opposite. Shabboson means big Shabbos, because Yom Kippur is referred to as Shabbat Shabboson. So the extra vav nun either can mean something big, or it can, some learn it means something small. So the Mitzvah Tzion on our pasuk learns it means something small. Ishon is the pupil of the eye, because in it you see a little man. Yeah, interesting. And similar to this, you find in Malachim Beis, chapter Yud Ches, Pasuk Dalad, where we're speaking there of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, great tzaddik. And one of the things he did was to take the Nahash Nechoshes, the copper snake that Moshe had manufactured, and Klal Yisrael had been offering up Ketores to it. After, in the times of Chizkiyahu, they were worshipping it as some kind of deity. And he said, this is the point. People worshipping it like Avodah Zarah. So you know what he did? He took it and he crushed it. Chizkiyahu. The Chit and the Chachamim praised him for it. Mishnah Pesachim had a praise for it. The Chitas Nechash Nechushes. He crushed this copper thing. Copper snake, Asha Moshe. Ki at hayomim ha'himam, because up until this day, or even as a makashim, they would offer up incense to it. Vayikra lo, and he called it Nechushton. Nechushton. Little Nechoshes. Yeah, little snake, little bit of copper. He called it in a derisory manner. So the extra nun, Nechushton, is to make this into a derisory, to make an object of ridicule. So he wanted to stop them from serving it. So he could just call it, ah, Nechushton, little piece of Nechoshes, a little piece of copper, rubbish copper, yeah, Nechushton. So the extra nun there, and in our case the extra vav nun, is to represent a diminution, yeah. So therefore the Matudas Tzion learns, that's how it is that the pupil of the eye is called Ishon, because you see in it a little man.
Yeah.
Ishon, little man. Is that amazing? Interesting, yeah. Now, in the art scroll to Hillim, he quotes Rav Mordechai Gifter.
Who says Garbi like little man?
No. Garbi like the pupil of the eye. Ishon bas oyen. So all he's explaining is, why is the pupil of the eye called Ishon? And he says, called Ishon because in it, in the pupil, you see a little, reflection very much in small. So that's why it's called, that's how the people of the eye is called Ishon. He's just explaining the word Ishon, why the word Ishon means, why the word for a pupil is Ishon. Yeah? But Mordechai Gifter says a very nice Dvar Musar on this, and it's quoted in the art scroll in it. He says, many people view others, they look at others with an air of criticism. They look at someone else in order, they see someone else and they criticize what they see and they criticize their actions. He says, when you look at someone else, just, what do you see when you look at someone else? You see yourself as a very small person in the reflection of the eye. So when you see someone else, just remind yourself that you're really a very little person. Yeah, that's the one, Mr. Yeah. Yeah.
When you don't see the bad in them, try and see your own faults.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Oh, let me share with you some very amazing midrashim on this. Push your dollar and get this right. Here's this one. Very interesting. Shomini Keshem Basoy. Just how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. Shomini, guard me Keshem Basoy. So on this, there's a Yalkut Shomini on Tehillim, and it's quoted here in the Tehillim in the Droshe Chazal, Yisrael Sefer, where he quotes here, Rabbi Yudan, in the name of Rabbi Levi, says, there isn't an area in the world, a base rova, which is an area of land where you can plant a rova of crops, and I don't know how much that is, there isn't a single area of even near Beis Rova which does not contain Tisha Kabin Mazikin, 9 Kav, another measure, of Mazikin. Well, I don't really understand these measurements, but it means that man's situation in the world is very, very vulnerable. We're always open to attack. Wherever you look, we're surrounded by problems and things are out to get us. And yeah, all sorts of mazikim, all sorts of everything. All, well, not just that, they're all problems. There are mazikim, seem to be almost like evil forces operating against mankind all the time in every place.
Cross over the road,
absolutely. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Malachim to protect us. That's the gist of this Medrash, that Hashem sends us Malachim to protect us. And as long as we keep the mitzvahs, Hashem will afford us that protection. That's how he meant it. But the protection is there for us. Hashem protects us all the time. Shamini Kishem Hashem protects us like the apple of the eye. Yeah. Now, also interesting, the Medrash Shechetiv on the, it's actually on this pasuk, Medrash Shechetiv brings that Hashem sends 1,000 malachim to protect a person on his left-hand side, and 10,000 malachim to protect us on our right-hand side. Say that again? Oh, that's the pasuk, great. Remember it, thank you, yeah. So Rav Avraham Yehonatan got 10,000. Hang on. That's right. Is it 10,000 mazikim or 10,000 malachim? Hang on. I'll get it right. Wait, take me a second. Yeah. I think it's mazikim. It's malachim. Yeah. 1 second. Small English. Here we are. That's malachim. No. We're talking about malachim. No, it's not. Yeah, so it seems that possibly mentioned is talks about mazikim. But as well as that, we have Hashem sends 1,000 malachim for protection on a person's left and 10,000 on a person's right. Why are there so many more malachim on your right than on your left? Because your right hand side needs more protection than your left hand side. No, that's not what it says here. No. Hang on, let me get this right. Sorry, I got it wrong. I'll forget. 1,000 malachim to protect you on your left, 10,000 malachim to protect you on your right. Why are there so many more protective malachim on your right than on your left? Because most mitzvahs you do with your stronger hand, with your right hand. And it says there's only really one mitzvah you'll do with your left hand, which is tefillin. So the one mitzvah tefillin, as the only one, therefore that gives you 1,000 malachim. But most of the mitzvahs you'll do with your right hand, and therefore you're granted more protection on your right than you are on your left. Because you're doing more mitzvahs with your right than you're doing with your left. Yeah. Good. Now, let me show you this. Very interesting. He won't be able to bring a carbon because he's left-handed.
By two other
areas. So let me look. Yeah, that's right. It's surrounded, surrounded the eye. The pupil of the eye is the central black section, which of course is a hole. It's actually a hole to allow in light. And it's surrounded by the coloured part of the eye, which is the, is that the iris?
Iris.
I think it's the iris. I'm not sure. It's surrounded by the iris, which will contract, the muscle will contract and so on in order to expand the pupils, allowing more light. That's right, to expand the pupil. So the fact is it's surrounded. Yeah, does it? Does it? Must be iris. Yeah, iris is a white part. Oh, no, hang on. Yeah. Maybe this is the account. Okay, maybe it's the account part as well. Whichever it is, the outcome of this points out that the pupil is in the very center of those other circular patterns, circular aspects of the eye, and therefore it's like, thus, it's like the daughter. It's right in the middle of the, it's as though the others, like the other outer circular sections are parent sections to the daughter section. And the daughter section is going to be the pupil of the eye. Yeah? Okay? That's how the alchemy most went out. The one thing which I left out from the, Matsudas Tsion points out, which, let's just go back to Matsudas, he's the one who left out Isha Nung and Little Man. The Sivisian points out that Ishon is exactly the same as Bas Oyin. It's a tautology. Ishon means the pupil, and Bas Oyin also means the pupil. And he points out a posuk in Doniel, chapter Yud Base, posuk base, which we've had before. Where's Doniel? Here. Doniel, Yud Base, chapter Yud Base, posuk base, where we have the expression Admas offer, talking about Chesed Amesim. For Rabbim, many people, Miyeshene Admas offer, from those sleeping in the earth. Yeah? Admas offer. So, Adomo is earth, and offer is earth. Why both? So if you can see that sometimes the Pesukim are tautologists, you have a bit of repetition there. Admas offer, and we actually had this once before, in the Shir. And likewise here, Ishon means the pupil, and Bas Oyin also means the pupil, both meaning pupil. Yeah? It is a tautology, but it's an accessible tautology, as we see other places that Tanakh was on Admas offer. Now, let's come on to Rosh Hashanah Fal Hirsh. Rosh Hashanah Fal Hirsh is mechuluk with what this Ishon is. What's the Ishon and what's the Bas Oyin? So he has a very, very interesting chat on this. And he starts off by saying that the word Ishon means the pupil. Yeah, he agrees that Ishon is the pupil. Why is the Ishon the pupil? Because it comes from the Sheresh Yud Shin Nun, which means to be old. And something which is old is dull. And dull is therefore a darker color, and therefore it's the darkest part of the eye, i.e. the pupil. That's how he explains what Ishon means the pupil, coming from Yud Shin Nun, meaning old. Old equals dull, and dull equals dark, and dark equals pupil. That's how it explains the etymology of the word Ishon. The shaila is, what is this Bas Oyin? Says the Rav Shmuel Fal Hirsh that Bas Oyin cannot mean the pupil itself. The Matsudas Tzion learns it is the pupil. Ishon is the pupil, and Bas Oyin is also the pupil. That's how the Matsudas Tzion learns. Rav Shmuel Fal Hirsh says it cannot possibly be, and he proves it from a pasuk in Eicha, chapter base, pasuk Yudches, where the pasuk says, the end of the pasuk, Al tidom bas einech. The bas ayin, whatever that is, should not be at rest. And he says, what does it mean it shouldn't be at rest? It means it should constantly flow with tears. And that's what we had earlier in the same pasuk, Haridi chanach al dimo. Shed tears like a river. Cry like a river. Yeah? I think it's a song, Cry Like a River. Something like that. I think it's a song. It comes from this passage. Haridi Hamachal Dimo. Yeah. Yom Valaylo, day and night. Yeah, I'm finished with the last section. Nothing, yeah? So, Al Tidim Bas Einich, don't let your eye rest. Don't let the Bas Ayin rest, i.e. shed tears. What should shed tears? Bas Ayin. He says the pupil doesn't shed tears. And that's how I brought it on the encyclopedia, you should see it. What is it that sheds tears? Is the tear duct, which is in the rim of the eyelid. Yeah, it's in the eyelid itself, is a tear duct which sheds tears. Now, I recently came across someone who was suffering from uncontrollable nosebleeds. Yeah? And the hospital blocked the nose so that it shouldn't come out, the blood shouldn't come out, and some blood came out of his eye. Yeah? And the doctors were not, it was very unpleasant, of course. It looked terrible, it felt terrible. Yeah, but, no, it's not terrible. Baruch Hashem, it's not terrible. And the doctors said, look, it's fine, don't worry. It's simple. If the blood can't come out through the nose, it finds another passage. And the nose and the eyes are connected, and the fluid that can't come out the nose will come out through the eye. And there's a pasuk, and I saw it quoted, and I can't remember where it is now. Another pasuk here in Eicha, which refers to water, mayim, coming out of the nose. And it's not a reference to nasal mucus, it's a reference to tears. Why? Because the nose and the eyes are connected. So the blood that couldn't come out of the nose came out of the tear duct. Yeah? And likewise, tears, if there's so many tears that they can't come out of the eye, there's too much to flow out of the eye, can also flow out of the nose. When you cry, you end up blowing your nose. You run your nose. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a pasuk in Eicha, and I can't find the pasuk. I forgot to look it up. But it's somewhere in Eicha, right? That the water fluid comes out of the eye fluid, i.e. tears, comes out of the nose as well. Now, says Rav Shmuel ben Hirsch, if the bas ayin is not the pupil, and he proves it can't be the pupil, you can see the tear ducts are not in the pupil, they're in the eyelid, this bas ayin is in fact the eyelid. The eyelid. And he relates it to Pasuk in Zechariah, which is in Zechariah chapter base, Pasuk Yud base, where the Pasuk says, come in, let's hear our chapter base, Pasuk Yud base, Ki hanogea bochem, Hashem says, whoever harms you, Klal Yisrael, nogea is harming bevavas eino, which is the same in Lashon, bevavas eino, with this bas ayin. But there it's not spelt with one base, it's spelt with two, vavas eino. So he says, what is this bovas? He relates it to the word bova, the Aramaic word bova, as in bova kama, bova metzia, which is a gate. He says, the bas ayin is the same as bovas ayin, which is the bova, the gate of the eye. What is the gate of the eye? The gate that can open and close over the eye. It's the eyelid. Not the pupil, but the eyelid. So Shushan von Hirsch learns it's the eyelid. And he points out how the lacrimal gland, the lacrimal gland is in the eyelid. Is in the eyelid.
Lacrimose.
Lacrimose means tearful. Yes, tearful. Lacrimose, tearful. Yeah. That's it. Good.